This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan for coming to this conference. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yuwaffiqana li kulli khair. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge. And we ask him also to reward our efforts and our steps and our gathering today. As it was announced before, I'll be talking, inshallah, about the status of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, fadlu al-Sahaba, the excellence of the Sahaba. And I will be basically sharing with you the aqidah or the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Muslims or members of mainstream Islam, what is their aqidah, what is their creed about the status of the Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what we need to pay attention to here is the proofs. The proofs that were used by our Muslim scholars. And we need to memorize them and understand them and understand their meanings. Why? Because there are many Muslims who are confused. Or sometimes when they read on the internet, they read opinions of other groups, people who belong to different sects, especially those who hate the Sahaba. So some of the Muslims will become confused, right? And this is due to lack of knowledge, Ikhwan. So we really need to focus and understand why our Muslim scholars or why Sunni Muslims worldwide believe that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were the best people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. And we're not supposed to talk, criticize them or put them down or say anything bad about the companions of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I would like to start with the definition of a Sahabi. Who is a Sahabi? And there is a famous definition that was adopted by some classical scholars like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who was a great classical scholar, Imam al-Suyuti, and some other scholars who said this is the best definition about the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And it is, من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مؤمنا ومات على الإسلام. Very simple. من لقي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, someone who met or saw the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم while being a believer, while being a Muslim, and he died as a Muslim. So three elements here. Three elements. He met or saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even if it is for 5 minutes, he will be one of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. And when he met him, he was a Muslim. He accepted the message of Islam. And he did not change his religion later on. He didn't change his religion. He didn't become murtad. No, he died as a Muslim. So if these three elements are there, then this person is classified as a Sahabi. And the ulama, they said, this includes all those who remained with him for a long period of time, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, all the Sahabis who accepted Islam in the city of Mecca or accepted Islam in the city of Medina, or Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum, those who stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spent time with him, they participated in his military activities or expeditions, whether they narrated a hadith from him, they did not narrate a hadith, those who met him for a short period of time, those who were children when they met him, whether they are males or females, so all these people are considered to be Sahabis. So this will exclude those who accepted Islam but did not meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They accepted Islam during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An example of this would be An-Najashi. An-Najashi, who was the king of Abyssinia, he accepted Islam during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he helped the Muslims. He offered his help and assistance to those who migrated to the to Abyssinia at that time. But he died as a Muslim, accepted Islam during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, died as a Muslim. But because he did not meet with the Prophet ﷺ, so he was not classified as a Sahabi. So rather he is a Tabi'i. Someone else, his name was Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais. He was from the city of Al-Basra. He heard about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived during his time. He accepted Islam, but he did not meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a great man. He was highly respected in his community. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to respect him. He met Umar ibn Khattab. He met all the many Sahabis radiallahu anhum. And he accepted Islam during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, but he did not meet the Prophet ﷺ, so he was not a Sahabi. There are people who came to the Medina, the city of Medina, in the 9th year of the Hijrah or the 10th year of the Hijrah, after the conquest of Mecca. Different Arab tribes in the Arabian Peninsula started using sending delegations. You know, a group of people would come to the city of Medina and they represent their own tribe to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to offer their pledge of allegiance and tell him that we are Muslims or the whole tribe accepted Islam. So these people, they would stay with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a short period of time. And some of them, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, changed their religion. They became kuffar again. Some of them became Muslims again. They came back to Islam, but some of them died as non-Muslims. So these people, they met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they met him, they were Muslims. They pronounced their Islam, but they died as non-Muslims. They are not Sahabis. They cannot be called Sahabis because they changed their religion after the death of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So basically, the Sahaba are divided into two groups. The first group is about those who remained with him for a long period of time. They narrated a hadith from him. They spent time with him. They supported him. They participated in most all the battles or most of the battles. They lived with him in the city of Mecca or in the city of Medina. So these are the most famous Sahabis. We know most of their names and we know about their stories and about their contribution. And the second group, they are those who met him for a short period of time. Right? Could be for 1 week, stayed with him for 1 week, 1 month, couple of months. So they didn't have a very close relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he died, alayhi salatu wasallam, the number of the Sahabis could be around 120,000 Sahabis. Wallahu ta'ala alam. This is the number of the Sahabis who made Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 10th year of the Hijrah. During his farewell Hajj, the number of the Sahabis were between 115,000 or 120,000 Sahabis who were with him in the city of Mecca during his farewell Hajj. Now, when we talk about the proofs, we need to understand these proofs, as I said, and we need to start always with the Quran. Because any ayah from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be treated as a solid proof, especially when the meaning is very clear. Right? When it is not open to interpretations. Because the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about that, the ayat of the Quran are divided into two types, and this is very important. Ummul Kitab. They are called Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, the mothers of the book. Yani, so this ayat in Surah, if you go to Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that there are some ayat that are very clear. They are not open to any interpretation. They have one clear meaning. There are some ayat, mutashabihat, that are open to different interpretations. So he said, and this is very important, even when it comes to the Sahaba, and I'll give you, at the end, I'll give you a proof, and how people deal with it, how our ulama, the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah dealt with this proof, and how other people who have a disease in their heart dealt with the same proof. So Allah told us in the page, the first page of Surah Ali Imran, that people who have a disease in their heart, they will go and look for guidance within these ayat that are mutashabihat. And they leave the other ayat that have a clear meaning, they leave them. So you are supposed to focus on the ayat that have a clear meaning if you want guidance. You don't go and spend time with those ayat that are open to different interpretations. Anyway, so one of these famous ayat about the excellence of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is the ayah that is found in Surah Tawbah, ayah number 100. Remember this ayat, ikhwan. Tawbah 100. He said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, He said, and the first forerunners in faith among the muhajirin and the ansar. So this is not open to any other interpretation. You know, we know that he's talking about the sahaba. Because who are the muhajirun? They are the immigrants. Those who made hijrah, those who left their homes, they left Mecca or their own places, and they joined our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the city of Medina. The Ansar, they are those who gave them shelter and help in the city of Medina, the helpers. So it doesn't mean anything else. He's talking about the Sahaba. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, and the first forerunners of faith among the Muhajirin and Al-Ansar. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and those who followed them in excellence or in good conduct. What happened? What will happen to them? The first thing Allah is saying, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. Allah is pleased with them, or Allah was pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. This is the first thing. And the second thing He said, أَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers will flow. And therein they will abide forever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about their reward on the Day of Judgment. And then the number three, He said, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the great attainment. That is the great achievement. الفوز العظيم in the Quran, it's always Jannah. Nothing else. It's not money or degree or status in this dunya. الفوز العظيم, great success in the Quran, is always Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about their reward, that He's pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him, that He prepared for them gardens of Jannah, and these are the people who made, you know, the greatest achievement. And this ayah, as I said, is very clear. Now, we move to another ayah in Surah Al-Fath. By the way, Surah Al-Fath, I will deal with only one ayah, but there are two ayat which mentioned the excellence of the Sahaba. Number 18, remember number 18, and remember 29. Ayah 29, which is the last ayah in Surah Al-Fath. The last ayah in Surah Al-Fath, 29. I'm not going to talk about it, you can check it later on, but I'll talk about 18, because it has a story, the story of Al-Hudaybiyah. Right? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what happened during Al-Hudaybiyah. Al-Hudaybiyah, the Muslims decided in the 6th year after the hijrah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and make Umrah. Muslims wanted to go and make Umrah. Their numbers at that time were around 1,400 Muslims with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they reach a place called Al-Hudaybiyah beside the city of Mecca, the Meccans send them a message that you are not allowed to enter the city of Mecca. Now, there was confusion here. Are they going to come and fight with us, against us, or are they going to allow us? So there was a big discussion. Muslims didn't know at that time what will happen, so they sent Uthman ibn Affan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Uthman ibn Affan to the Meccans to negotiate with them, to make a deal with them. And Uthman spent some time in the city of Mecca, talking to the people, the leaders of Mecca, about, you know, making a deal, allowing Muslims to enter the city of Mecca and make Umrah. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard some rumors that Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu was killed in the city of Mecca. He was assassinated. Now, this is a big problem. This is a senior Sahabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him, and he was his son-in-law. You know that he was married to the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But regardless, even if he was not his son-in-law, he was his messenger to the city of Mecca to negotiate a deal with him and one of his companions, and he heard that he was killed. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking about what? About a military conflict. About war, that these people, if they killed Uthman, that means they don't have a good intention and they are planning to fight against Muslims. I need to make sure that everyone is willing to support me on this day. I need to make sure that all the Sahaba will support me and they are willing to fight against the Meccans. So he asked them to give him what? A pledge of allegiance. Bay'ah, to some Bay'ah al-Ridwan. And all of them offered their pledge of allegiance, all of them. 1,400 Sahabis. There are some books of history, they say one person did not offer his pledge of allegiance. I read his name one time, I'm not concerned about his name, I'm not concerned about this person, it's not important. But you could say that 1,400, because there are some historians who said the number was between 1,400 to 1,500. But there is a famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim from Jabir. He said they were around 1,400. So a big number of Sahabis. And the number is very important. I'll tell you why it's important. So these people, all of them offer their pledge of allegiance. What did Allah say about this event? In ayah 18 in Surah Al-Fath, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ, it's a done deal. So Allah said the meaning of this ayah, which could mean Allah was pleased with the believers. He was pleased with them when they offer the pledge of allegiance to you, O Prophet, under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts. This is a very positive comment. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about their good intentions, that they, when they offer the pledge of allegiance, they meant it. They're willing to support you and fight with you against your enemies. Allah knew what was in their hearts. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. So he sent down serenity upon them, calmness, طُمَأْنِينَ. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا, and he promised them a near victory. Near victory, maybe at that time they didn't know the meaning of a near victory, but we know about it. If you study history, 2 years later, the Muslims were able to take the city of Mecca, right? So this ayah here, as I said, at least the number of the Sahabis who pledged offered their pledge of allegiance, at least 1,400. Now those who have a different creed about the Sahaba, those who hate, I would say they hate the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, they say that all the Sahabis became kuffar and murtad and changed their religion except for some of them. They said three, some of them they said four, some of them they increased the number to seven, up to nine or ten. How can they reconcile this ayat with their creed about the Sahaba? It's not possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran here, Even if they say, yeah, at that moment he was pleased with them. But later on they changed their religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be sending a wrong message to the ummah, to the whole ummah. That I was pleased with people who will change their religion later on. Or they are munafiqeen, they were not serious about their deen. And Allah here is telling us He knew what was in their hearts. And He blessed them with serenity, with tuma'nina, with tranquility, promised them a near victory. In the other ayah, He's pleased with them. He promised them Jannah. So Jannah, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will promise Jannah to those who knew, He knew that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the future, that they will change their religion later on? It doesn't make sense. So these people will never be able to reconcile, as I said, the meanings of this ayat, the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with their own creed. Another proof about the same event is a hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith is from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, who said, look at the statement of this hadith. He was one of them. He was with Bay'at al-Ridwan, Jama'at Bay'at al-Ridwan, with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, offered their pledge of allegiance. And he said, Rasulullah s.a.w., after they offered their pledge of allegiance, Rasulullah s.a.w. told them, أنتم خير أهل الأرض. اليوم أنتم خير أهل الأرض. قال جابر بن عبد الله وكنا ألفا وأربعمائة. That's why we say 1,000, around 1,400, because this is what Jabir said. He said, Rasulullah s.a.w. told us, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaq alayh, agreed upon. He said, Rasulullah s.a.w. told them, you are the best people on earth today. About those 1,400 sahabis who offered their bay'ah, bay'ah to Ridwan, the pledge of allegiance. You are the best people on earth. This is what Rasulullah s.a.w. said on that day. Why? Because they were the only Muslims, true believers at that time. Another ayah in Surah Al-Anfal. Remember this ayah, 74. And this ayah also is very clear. It's not open to interpretations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used some strong terms here. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, ayah 74. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا والذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. This is very important here. أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and those who believed and immigrated and struggled in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are they? Those who believed, immigrated, and struggled in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are they? Na'am? Who are they? Which group? Na'am? Say it loudly. Muhajirun, yes. Because he used the term hajaru. So they are the muhajirun. Second group. وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا Ansar, those who gave them shelter, those who gave them shelter and offered help and assistance. آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا What did he say about them? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا Those are the true believers. True, I'm not adding true believers here to make the statement sound like sound stronger. No, Allah used it. مُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا Those are the true believers. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ For them is forgiveness and an honorable provision, which is Jannah. Basically, the tafsir of honorable provision is Jannah, because this dunya has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not call the food in this dunya or provision in this dunya as an honorable provision. It has no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these terms, he's most likely talking about Jannah. So this is ayah in Surah Al-Anfal, these are solid, ya ikhwan, solid. This will give you a solid foundation about your creed regarding the Sahaba, the status of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Surah Al-Hashr, if you go to Surah Al-Hashr, I want you to memorize or keep in mind number 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10 in Surah Al-Hashr. In 8, he talked, in Ayah 8, he talked about the Muhajirin. 9, he talked about Al-Ansar and their achievement, their contribution. And number 10, about those who will come after them, and we are included. Because he said, and those who will come after them. This include the generation of the Tabi'een and the rest of Muslims till the Day of Judgment. And he's telling us, how are we supposed to behave towards the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Prophet. So in Ayah 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said about the Muhajirin, that they are the ones who left their land and wealth seeking Allah's pleasure. So Allah knows about their intention. Allah is telling us they left their land, their wealth, seeking Allah's pleasure or the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told us about them that they gave support to Allah and His Messenger. Number 2. And he described them what? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are true in faith. They are the ones who are true in faith. They are the truthful ones. So this is how he described the Muhajirin in Ayah number 8 in Surah Al-Hashr. Ayah number 9, he was talking about the Ansar radiallahu anhum, and he said they love those who immigrated to them. They don't feel any resentment or ambition towards what was given to the Muhajirin, the immigrants. So they don't have jealousy. If the immigrants will take something, they have no resentment in their hearts. They have no ambition towards what was given to them. They give preference to the immigrants, to the Muhajirin, over themselves. And we know some amazing stories about the Ansar preferring their brothers, the Muhajirin, over themselves. And then, at the end of the ayah, he said, they are al-muflihun. They are people of success. So the Muhajirun were described as people of, they are sadiqun, they are true in faith. The Ansar were described as muflihun, people of success. Now what is important is the ayah number 10, because it talks about our behavior. What should be our behavior towards the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So basically, those who come after them, this is how they are supposed to behave. They are supposed to say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا, forgive us, O our Lord, forgive us, and those who preceded us in faith, and did not allow any bitterness or hatred in our hearts towards those who believed. Right? So those who came before us, they are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the first generation of Islam. Now anyone who came after them, this is how he's supposed to do. This is what he's supposed to do. This is how he's supposed to behave towards the Sahaba. You make dua for yourself and you make dua for them. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their mistakes and their sins, if they had any sins. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them Jannah. And you ask Allah, do not allow any bitterness or hatred in your heart towards those who believed. Now, there are people who said, I don't have a problem with the first forerunners among the Muhajirin and the Ansar, those who migrated before the conquest of Mecca, right? But I have problem with some of those who accepted Islam in the city of Mecca after the conquest of Mecca. An example of this, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, maybe his brother Yazid ibn Abi Sufyan, maybe his father Abu Sufyan, maybe their mother Hind bint Utba, maybe some of them who accepted Islam after the conquest of Mecca. No, I will tell them their answer. Our answer is the ayah in Surah Ayah 10 in Surah Al-Hadid. Ayah 10 in Surah Al-Hadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the answer. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that they are not the same. Those who donated and spent in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and struggled in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the conquest of Mecca and not the same like those who donated or accepted Islam and donated and struggled in the cause of Allah after the conquest of Mecca. So the first group have a greater degree than the second group. They are not the same. They are not equal. But he said something. Allah said, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And for each group, Allah has prepared a fine reward. So both of them are promised what? Jannah. Because husna, the explanation, interpretation of husna in the Quran is Jannah. So both of them are promised Jannah because they accepted Islam and they became Sahabis, right? And they had their own contribution and their own this, and they had their own efforts to support the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the conquest of Mecca. At what time am I supposed to stop? 2:05. 2:05? طيب. If we consult the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is another famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ أَيُّ النَّاسِ خَيْرٌ. Who are the best among the people? Look at this question. And also look at his answer. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Who are the best among the people? And his answer would be, he said, people of my generation. It's not open to any other interpretation. People of my generation. People who lived with me. Who are they? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They're not the kuffar, they are not the people who lived in different parts of the world. They're people who lived with him, the Sahaba, his companions. He said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي. خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي. People of my generation. And then he said, those next to them. And then those who will come after them. He mentioned three generations. And that's why the ulama, they said, the best people of this ummah are the people who of the first three generations. So, as-sahaba, then at-tabi'un, their students, and then tabi'at tabi'un, their students. That's it. And then after that, people started changing and, you know, creating fitna among themselves, and the ummah became divided, and so on and so forth. But when talking about sahaba radiallahu anhum, these are clear and solid proofs that they are the best people. As I said, if they were at the time of his death, alayhi salatu wasalam, 120,000 sahabis, is it possible that he would say that these are the best people? And then some people would come and say, all of them changed their religion. All of them became murtad. All of them became kuffar except for 10, 9, 7, 5. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense at all. They will never be able to, as I said, to reconcile their creed about the Sahaba with these clear proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the end, anyone, is that this warning here, or this advice, is to those among us. There are some people. They are members of the Sunni community. And they have doubts sometimes. They entertain doubt about, you know, the status of the Sahaba and said, no, I'm not talking about Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. I know these are the best people, but I have a problem with this Sahabi or this Sahabi. I'll tell you something. The wasiyya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famous hadith. He said, لا تسبوا أصحابي. لا تسبوا أصحابي. فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما أدرك مد أحدهم ولا نصيفة. He said, do not revile my sahabis, my companions. Do not revile my sahabis. Okay, I'll finish inshallah in 5 minutes. Do not revile, do not insult my companions. He said, for, and then he made an oath here. By the one in whose hand is my soul, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one of you were to spend in donation here, in charity, the equivalent of Mount Uhud in gold. Imagine the mountain of Uhud, the equivalent of this huge mountain in gold. He said it will not be equal to a mud. You know what is a mud? A small measurement that was used at the time of Rasulullah to use it to measure yani zakat al-fitr or whatever. A small container that was used as a measurement. He said it will not be equal to a mud that was donated by one of the Sahaba, or he said nor half of it, or nasifa, even half of it. So one of us would spend the amount of gold in charity that is equivalent to the weight of Uhud, the mountain of Uhud, it will not be equal to a donation, a small donation that was given by a Sahabi. Now, I will end with this, a hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. These kind of ahadith, there are people sometimes when they found them, they find them on the internet, they become shocked. I'll be honest with you. When I found this hadith for the first time, I was taken aback. Okay? But whenever you find something that is doubtful about the status of the Sahaba, you need to consult the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Go back to the proofs used by the solid proofs used by the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah about the status of the Sahaba. This hadith says, and it is found in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah will be given al-hawd on the Day of Judgment, the pond. And Muslims are supposed to come and drink. All the members of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are supposed to come and drink from this pond, al-hawd, right? This is a gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. The malaika will be trying to stop some people from reaching this pond. And they will stop a group of people that the Rasulullah would recognize. And he will say to the malaika, these are my companions. These are my companions. And the malaika will tell him, you don't know what they did after you. Ah. Okay? So now the other people are using this kind of ahadith. How do we understand this ahadith? We said, yes, there are Muslims from the Bedouins and some different Arab tribes who came to the Medina. They met Rasulullah ﷺ, and after his death, they changed their religion. You study about Hurub al-Ridda, Ridda wars, between 632 to 633. This Ridda, apostasy, lasted for 1 year. Abu Bakr dealt with them within 1 year. Some of them died as non-Muslims. So they met Rasulullah ﷺ, they accepted Islam, but they changed their religion. These people, ulama Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they said they are not Sahabis to begin with. But Rasulullah ﷺ didn't know that these people will change their religion after his death. So they are not classified as Sahabis. You don't call them Sahabis. But because Rasulullah ﷺ didn't know that these people will change their religion, and they are a small group of people. I got some names. I'm not interested in these names. But I got some names. Even one of them, he spent 1 year in the city of Medina learning Quran and the deen. He was from the people of Musaylama al-Kadhab. And then he went back to Musaylama, and Musaylama put some pressure on him, and he changed his religion. And he died as a kafir. Right? He died as a kafir. So some of them, yes. And there is a narration about this, a version of this hadith. Rasulullah ﷺ used the term usayhabi, which means indicates that they were a small number of those who changed their religion. We know that the city of Medina, the people in the Mecca, the city of Mecca, the city of Medina, and the city of Taif, these three cities, all of them stayed firm on the deen after the death of Rasulullah ﷺ. They did not change their religion. So you cannot apply this hadith, which is not clear. A group of companions, which is not clear. I'm talking about mutashabihat here. Allah is telling us about mutashabih, things that are open to interpretation. You forget about all the solid proofs in the Quran, Surah Tawbah, Surah Al-Fatih, Surah Al-Hashr, and all these solid, strong proofs about the status and the excellence of the Sahaba. And you come to this hadith the meaning of which is not clear, you take it as a proof for your aqeedah regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is not fair. And this is what some people are doing. So as Muslims, you need to be aware of that. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wafiqana li kulli khayr. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Barakallahu feekum. As I said, again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this gathering. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك في أعمالنا وأن يرزقنا جنة الفردوس جزاكم الله خير